I think they faked the moon landing so they could put on a big show of setting a camera on the moon and panning it around and going, gee, there's nothing up here at all, so that we wouldn't be curious about the moon.
Do you think they faked?
Yeah, that's the best way to hide the Nazis.
Exactly.
Or it could even be that, like, it didn't go up to the top. Maybe the top people thought that they did go to the moon. It was just, like, the worker bee guys who were like, shit, we've got a deadline. We got to get this done. We're going to get fired if we don't make something happen here.
It was,
and so it's just this collective of, like, 15 dudes at the bottom rung of the ladder that
just having a meeting going, okay, how smart is the president?
the bureaucrat who, like, fills up the file cabinet with, like, the outbox of his file cabinet with just empty sheets of paper to make it look like he did all his paperwork. He's like, all right, Steve, you're in charge of getting us to the moon. He's like, oh, I don't want to really go to the moon. You know how much work that's going to be?
And what's on the moon anyway?
Yeah. Jeez.
I got a buddy with a soundstage. Yeah, that's it.
Didn't Stanley Kubrick just make a movie where they, like, went to the moon? Why can't we just do something like that instead of actually...
It was pretty convincing.
I'm a bureaucrat. I don't want to, like, really go to space.
Hey, everybody. This is Brett. So, yeah, welcome to the second installment in our... it's not really a series, it's just an ongoing thing called Free AV, where I try to make some bonus content, some stuff that I really enjoyed creating, available to thousands of folks who don't have access to it. And obviously, one of the primary drivers for doing this is to get more people to sign up and support the show, you know? And many of you might be saying, support the show, Brett, you haven't done anything in weeks. Yeah, it's true. I haven't. And I said a couple shows ago that I would give a little explanation. And I went on to record this, like, 20-minute thing. You don't need to hear that. Don't worry about that. I'm just going to give you some bullet points. Long story short, I needed a little break. Thought it was going to be about 1 week. Turned out to be a little more than two. There are some challenges. There are some very exciting things happening right now in my life. And it's great. You know, and I feel pretty rested and I am ready to work. I just hope you'll be patient with me over the next couple of weeks. So we had a lot of technical problems. That is an ongoing thing. I'm in the process of resolving that. I think I found some workarounds. We have had some scheduling problems. I have three series going on at once right now. It's a lot of people and times to coordinate. And in the week before Porkfest, it really just didn't work out. And I'm trying to also line up the next thing we're going to do, hopefully starting around episode 300, if I can get all of the other things close to wrapped up prior to that. Three, I wanted to take some time to just go back and evaluate and see if there's some changes that I could make. I found myself doing some things that I didn't like. I don't want to tell you about them because then you'll notice them, because I might still do them. And we also were about to put out a survey where we were hoping to get some really great listener feedback. That's also on hold. Tony, our webmaster, who volunteers his time and is an absolute asset to the School Sucks Project, has been very busy, but we should be connecting soon. And everything is getting ready to move forward, I promise. So back to today's show. This is nowhere near a serious show, but it is one of my favorites of all time. It is from August 30th, 2012, and it is the After School Sucks special. Now, I know I said that I would put things in the main podcast feed if they added value. I think you'll find sprinkled into this conversation some interesting insights, but the value that I want to add for you today, because it's a holiday weekend, folks, is humor. And we should talk a little bit about what kind of humor that is. This is not for kids. The After School Sucks special was our attempt at a comedy show after our two-hour LRN radio show ended. And we were just bursting at the seams to be all inappropriate, you know? Like I said, this one is from August 30th, 2012. And the thread that runs through this entire show, topically, is a little place called The Moon. It is me, Osborne, Corey, JJ, and a caller named Brian who may or may not be somehow connected to the guy who came on to talk about permaculture. So, I hope you enjoy this. I hope you see we have some range. I think we do. All right, please bear with me. I promise more stuff is coming soon. And yes, I recognize this show has very, very little educational value. It's not about school or education at all, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to do here. I hope more people will support us by accessing this stuff so we can continue to produce the serious and beneficial stuff that I'm really proud of. Would you say you're proud of this, Brett? In a way, but not in the same way that I'm proud of the other work we do. And I want to keep doing that work, obviously. So please support the show, schoolsucksproject.com/AV. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Hold on one second. Let's take a call from 603. Hey, you're on the thing. Who's this?
Hi, it's Brian.
Hi, Brian. Welcome to the after show. We are just about to begin our discussion about a documentary film that you saw. And you said that in this documentary, you learned that Nazis were living on the moon.
Yeah, because it was a really good documentary. I like documentaries. I don't like movies that aren't about true things.
Right.
I watch a lot of documentaries, you know, because you know that it's true if they actually, you know, say it's a documentary and they take the time to go out and, you know, film people and they interview them and you know, why would they lie? So that's why I like watching those, because then I don't have to, you know, worry about it not being true.
Now, did you see this documentary in the theater?
Yeah. That's where all the good documentaries first show, because they have to... you know, they really benefit from the big screen.
Sure, Bowling for Columbine, Sicko, right. An Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah,
right. So I'm
those,
a documentary connoisseur myself. But go on about the. So, how are you affected by this experience of learning that Nazis live on the moon?
It's not really a problem because I never see the dark side of the moon, and I know they don't see me, so it really doesn't bother me. It's just, you know, it's nice to know, it's nice to know how an engine works in your car, even though you never want to, you know, go in and actually fix it. You know, someone else can do that, but it's just nice to know that. And, you know, it's nice to know there's Nazis out there, and there's probably lizard people in the earth. I don't know. I've heard something about that, but I haven't seen a good documentary on that. I've just heard rumors. But now that I've seen this documentary, I know they're on the far side of the moon, but it doesn't bother me because I can't see them.
Now, Brian, in this documentary, the entire planet Earth is nuked. And I'm just curious how that conforms with your experience of reality.
Well, that's at the very end. I think that was just special effects.
Well, okay. So maybe that was a foreshadowing of things to come.
Yeah, it's a possible foreshadowing. You know, you do that sometimes in documentaries. You know, they tell the truth mostly, but then, you know, they kind of take artistic license near the end. But I don't usually listen,
right.
You know.
I once saw a documentary about Nostradamus, which was hosted by, now I wanted to say Raymond Burr, but it wasn't. It was Orson Welles, hosted by Orson Welles, where they did dramatic interpretations of Nostradamus' predictions. And those involved nuclear war as well. So it might have been something along those lines. Like, we have reliable information that this could happen.
Yeah, Raymond Burr is the new Orson Welles.
So can we cut the crap here for a minute? Because we're talking about a movie that Brian and Jason both saw tonight.
JJ was there, too.
And JJ was there, too. And it is called Iron Sky. And when I saw the trailer for this, oh, I was so excited. I thought it was just the coolest idea for a movie where Nazis have been hiding on the dark side of the moon since the end of World War II, plotting their invasion of the United States, right? So this is the movie. Now, what's interesting about this, and I think a lot of people know this, but not everybody knows this, is that... it's easy to say something like the Nazis were crazy, right? But the Nazis were really, like, clinically, the people who were at the leadership of the Nazi Party probably mostly were stricken with post-traumatic stress syndrome from World War One.
It was called shell shock back then.
That's right. That was before the euphemisms. A couple layers of euphemisms, as George Carlin points out. They were also very involved in the occult, which is one of the reasons why, as we learned in Raiders of the Lost Ark, another documentary about the Nazis, that they were interested in going around the world and collecting these mystical art, these biblical artifacts, because they thought it gave them this power. They would go to India and measure people's heads to see if they were descendants of the true Aryan race from Atlantis. This is what they were involved in. This is not even counting, the final solution, that obviously an extremely significant part of the insanity of Nazi Germany and the Nazi ideology, and a society collectively and obediently committing suicide behind their leadership. But they really wanted to do these things. Like, they wanted to build a base on the moon.
The moon base was a stepping stone to their Mars mission to measure Martian heads.
Okay. Maybe. But when people talk about World War II, and Brian, you probably had plenty of these conversations, and they say, you know, if it wasn't for the World War II, we'd all be speaking German right now. Right now, the Nazis killed a lot of people, and were a formidable enemy. But at the height of their power, right? So the idea that they're planning an invasion of the U.S. for, say, like late 1945, when their army's been reduced by 70%, there's a complete insurrection within the leadership of the party. Hitler's hiding in a bunker. This is the time where they're plotting an invasion of the only country, the only superpower in the world, 3,000 miles away, that hasn't been destroyed. When they had their entire army and loyal leadership and the public behind them, they couldn't successfully cross the English Channel. So that's mythology. So
seems crazy that they would plan that, but that's only if you don't know about the moon base.
Yeah, exactly. They have spaceships now with jet fuel now to get to the moon from the moon to here. I mean, they can do it now.
Who?
The Nazis
from the moon.
Yeah. So don't laugh. I mean, we would be speaking German. I mean, we're going to be speaking German again.
Moon
coming.
German.
You know what? I think we're before we stray off course on that too much. I just want to say that. When, like 100 years from now, when everybody who lived through World War II is gone, and they talk about the greatest enemy that America ever conquered, unless they're, you know, unless they've made up some new greatest enemy that America has conquered in the next century, or one of the greatest enemies that America has ever conquered, and they say, well, they were these people. They wanted to live on the moon. They measured people's heads. They collected stuff that didn't exist. It sounds like a fucking cartoon, right? They bad guys.
They have to cartoonize them. I mean, that was the whole Looney Tunes thing, you know, the Chinese guy or the Japanese guy with the big, you know, glasses and the, you know, buck teeth. I mean, you know, it's all that that propaganda during World War II. But one thing you said, Brett. It's kind of a tirade I've been going on, and I don't really know the answer to it, but you can't conflate America with the United States, and America didn't win the war. The United States won, or whatever you call that, the war. You know, America, I don't know what the difference is, but the United States is definitely the government, and they were the ones involved with killing people.
Sure.
It's kind of their thing.
I don't know what you said that led to me saying that, but... you know, I kind of like the Japanese with the big glasses and the buck teeth.
Oh, the pictures, the dehumanization propaganda posters, which today are hilarious, and they made cartoons out of them then.
Oh yeah.
You know what? One of my pet peeves is these older gentlemen, and my grandpa was one before he passed away, who wear their hats that signify the unit they were in and their place in World War II, propagating the idea that going and dropping atomic bombs and firebombing women and children is a good idea. And I have a pet peeve with that. Those people who continuously propagate this mythology around killing and murder and
the
torture.
The greatest generation.
Well, the greatest generation of killing
folk. You don't even have to go that far.
I don't approve of that.
I was stuck behind a car today in traffic, and it was 9/11. You know, never forget. My son is Army Strong. You know, 101st Airborne. All these things on one car. You know, you're surprised the driver's even able to see out the back window. It's like, yeah, they don't want you to forget this stuff. They want you to remember, because as soon as you forget, they become, you know.
And the reason for this
invisible.
Is that was the greatest point in this person's life. This person's life has sucked, completely sucked since that time, and that was the best they can muster up and put on the top of their head to walk around in a mall while they sip coffee and eat donuts. Seriously, they go to the buffet wearing their hat, that was the best moment of their life. And since then, it's been complete crap, and they've gotten kids that they don't like and a wife that they can't stand, but they've been with her 50 years because, God darn it, that's the way we do it back then in the tradition times. It's like, dude,
I killed some Nazis, man.
Stop convincing people that murder is the best thing that happened to your life because you're a bad person.
Yeah, that's a single best argument for how much going to war warps a person, that for the rest of their life, they'll remember it as a highlight.
Yeah, and not a traumatizing event that they regret. And that. But remember, too, you don't see, they do exist, but you see a lot more of those hats that say Korea and WW2 than you do that say Vietnam or Desert Storm.
No, the Vietnam veterans, you know.
Yeah, most of them.
They're more likely to be wearing a hat made out of a newspaper because they were in a mental institution until the government shut them down.
Oh, gosh.
Which is where you should end up after they make you go to war. If you go to war and you don't come back mentally ill, well, that you don't exist.
No, you're a cop.
I said if you don't come back mentally ill.
How can we I'm wondering how we could make it so JJ can hear.
No worries, I can hear well.
JJ!
Yeah, he's here. That's who's been talking. Do you have earbuds?
I have headphones downstairs.
Oh, you don't have a monitor speaker there?
But it's going to create distortions through the mics. Go grab them. I can plug you in right here.
We can all talk very loudly.
But there was like a little bit of a difficulty because he couldn't hear you very well.
Oh, well, while he gets his stuff, Brett, why don't you ever come and visit? I mean, you're like a half mile away.
I know, I should. We should hang out.
You can send your killer bees after him.
I'll run for bees.
You know, I've got these bees. It's amazing. I got three queens in there in a colony at the beginning of the spring, because I tend to kill bees over the winter for some reason. Anyway, so I got these three. The middle one kind of died out. I think a mouse took his place in there. So now I have these two colonies left, and one of them is very tame. They're very gentle. I go up there and they're very nice. They're just, you know, we're out, we're working for a man, we're getting nectar and we're getting pollen and shit, and they're a joy to work with, but they don't produce a lot. It's like they're kind of, you know, yeah, whatever. They're Italian bees, and okay, that's what they call them. I go to the other one, and this came from the same queen, the same type of queen, and I pop that thing off. And it's like they scramble 100 F-16 fighters at my face, and I got the whole bee suit on thing, but it's like they're very aggressive and they're very protective, but they produce just a shitload of honey. So I think what happened is the Italian queen died, and they wouldn't replace the queen. And this is how it works, and they mated with some much more aggressive bees, and now the queen has those genes, and they're much more aggressive, but they're a lot more productive. So I love the Africanized bees.
Africanized bees.
Well, that's what they call them. They came over. I mean, it's the stuff that came from South America. But there's such a difference. And these things, they're 6 feet apart. But some of them are very gentle. Some are very, very, very aggressive. But, you know, that's why they have the aggressive bees, because they're twice as productive as far as giving honey. Oh, can I pitch my honey on the show now?
Yeah, you got to let me read one comment from the chat. Shit, it keeps scrolling down. If it wasn't for World War II, we'd all be driving Japanese and German cars right now. I wish these people, I wish people would log in so I could credit somebody for that. It's some Ustreamer number, but whoever said that was very well done. All right, plug your honey.
Well, so I got this honey. I've been trying to get these bees for 3 years and they keep dying on me. So I finally got just a shitload of honey this year. But I decided that I'm not selling them for Federal Reserve notes. So you can offer me any number of Federal Reserve notes and I won't take them, but I will trade you for bitcoins. So I've already had at least three people who wanted my honey so much that they went out and they created a Bitcoin wallet and funded it just to buy my honey, which is really what I want. It's more of an activist thing than a matter of selling honey. So I think the biggest problem with Bitcoin is that we need to create liquidity. We need to create people buying and selling, moving this currency through the markets. That way, it'll become worth more, and it'll more people will find out about it. It'll become easier and be less stigmatized. So I'm a real proponent of Bitcoin right now. Have you guys talked much about Bitcoin on your show?
Yes, we have. But this is the show. One more from the chat. 95% of African bees voted for Obama. Oh my gosh.
What? Romney is soft on colony collapse.
Of course these two are from the same person. The African bees. Listen, this gets very loose, okay? And we tolerate a lot on the after show. Somebody in the chat says the other guy is Corey.
Yes, it is.
Just read it already. Okay. Come on.
Wait, JJ got here last. How come he's not the other guy?
The Africanized bees don't have kings and queens. They have pimps and hoes.
So if you guys like racial humor, you need to go see this movie, Iron Sky. It is completely chock full of making fun of every different race on the planet. And especially American politics.
And we should.
Yeah, yeah.
Make fun of every race, you mean?
I think that, and this is going to be a topic for a future after show, but the limits of humor. And, what pushes a good joke? What pushes beyond the limits of what's acceptable, right? And I have, as we've demonstrated on this show, we go pretty far, right? And, Stephanie Murphy made a good point to me when she said, you tolerate maybe a lot more, because Stephanie has been one of the hosts of Free Talk Lives, and people have accused her of being overly sensitive about certain things. And she said, well, Brett, and she was absolutely right. You're white, you're a man, you're thin. So you're not you're not the butt of any jokes, and that's true. I've never been really I don't know what it's like to be the butt of a ton of jokes. I was definitely a fat kid. I'm bald. I'm bald.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm the butt of probably a lot of jokes.
Well, now that's out.
Well, you know what? I've had it with this insensitivity. No, but
you're
was
bald. But
she,
I've never seen you without a hat.
I'm balding. I don't have any hair in the back. But I thought she was right. I thought that was a good point. That maybe when you're kind of immune from all of these different types of humor, it's different. But I would like to see people loosen up, right?
Yes.
Somebody, Al Sharpton, should hear about this.
I saw.
Well, there is
that would be great exposure. If somebody could, once I put this out as a video, email it to Al Sharpton. His address is Al Sharpton at what is
Al Sharpton.com.
No, it's something Action Network.
Oh,
he's on MSNBC.
Just do Al at MSNBC.com. Send him a link to this video. The part where the Ustreamer talked about bees voting for Obama, and we'll be famous. So
I saw the most hilarious thing on Facebook this week. I must have laughed for an hour straight. Mm-hmm. And then again, when I saw it the second time, it's this woman holding up the sign, clearly at like some kind of political rally. And it was also clearly Photoshopped. Like she didn't actually have the sign, but it made it even better. So in the middle of the sign, it said vote GOP. And then on the top and bottom of it, it said, chain me up and harvest my rape babies.
Oh, jeez. Hold on. We lost our connection.
Oh, boy.
What the hell?
There's no such thing as rape babies.
Yeah. That's
right, they don't exist.
The body has ways of shutting that thing, kind of thing down.
No, that's only for legitimate rape.
The one I shared with Dale was a YouTube screenshot of a comment. And it was a Mars rover, and it said... wow, I'm surprised. I didn't know Mars had a sun. And I was like, wow. Public schools.
So the other day when Neil Armstrong died, I saw someone post my favorite science fiction actor, Neil Armstrong.
Yeah, don't you know, Brian, no one's been to the moon. Silly.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. The moon.
I want to interview Stanley Kubrick about what it was like to work with Neil Armstrong.
You know, Stanley Kubrick, they're for another show.
I don't know. I find it completely plausible that there was never any landing on the moon.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you're not a conspiracy guy.
No, I'm not. But it just seems completely reasonable to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, let's look at you. So you have the Van Allen.
And only because I don't really care. One way or the other.
Right.
But
that's not... We went to the moon.
Well, no. Jason, we saw it tonight. They're on the moon. They must have landed there.
Yeah.
They must have landed there.
Ooh.
Not we.
That was a good use of pronouns, Brian.
Well, they meaning not Jason and I.
No, they meaning the Nazis. We, the Americans, were also there. This is... I don't want to turn this into like an Abbott and Costello thing. But...
But what if I were a Nazi? Would that make me a we and a they simultaneously?
No.
Like a we they?
No.
No? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now.
The fact that this wasn't the headline is what makes me think it never happened.
What does it say?
It's this fake Onion headline from 1969 with the headline is, "Holy shit, man walks on fucking moon."
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are a lot of like, it's okay to have questions about it. What would be the motives for faking the moon landing?
Showing up the Russians.
Yeah.
That's it. That's.
Yeah. Well, and if you have,
there's more to it.
If you have a stupid goal like that, right, where your only goal is to just make other people look bad. Like, why would you go through all the actual expense of landing on the moon when you could go to this much less expense of doing it on a soundstage and then funneling those dollars into your other black operations?
Well, you know, there is that, okay? There is the...
I'm saying, if I were government, that's exactly what I would do.
Okay, but there is that aspect of it as well. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, I don't have a dog in this fight on the moon landing thing. I don't care. I haven't researched it. All this is an exploration of motives. 1969. Close to or right after the height of Vietnam War protests, right? College students are about to get shot. Things are so bad domestically that college students are about to get shot by the National Guard. Mm-hmm. That happens a year later. So tension is very high. Mm. Within the last 6 years, three of the most dynamic, potentially pivotal leaders, political and otherwise, are killed, destroying the hope. I mean, like, this is not Obama hope. Like, even the Kennedys were like real hope for people. You know, like whether they were full of shit or not. I mean, I think that, you know, despite their, you know, mafia upbringing and you know, elitism and silly accents, that they were decent guys, probably,
you know, and they were mixed up and maybe not, you know, didn't have the best moral compass and mixed it up with the mafia and with women and all that. But I really think that they got into politics because, you know, I heard RFK say it once, you know, like, it's I don't need the money. I'm already this, I'm already that, you know, it made sense to me. But these were people that people had a lot of hope and faith in them, and Martin Luther King, all dead. Robert F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King, dead within months of each other, right? Mm-hmm. So if there is no "we went to the moon" in 1969, how much of a pacifying effect did that have on what was going on? The greatest achievement in human history by the United States. So, I mean, it's an interesting thing to think about.
Well, I think I'd also like to bring up the idea that it's part of the mythology of the religion of the state. You see, the state has to appear infallible. Mm. When they drop an atomic bomb, it's for a damn good reason. Mm-hmm. And when they firebomb Tokyo, it's for a damn good reason. And the state said before the moon landing, they said, we are going to the moon. They made this claim. Then they had to back up the claim, because if the state shows any chinks in that armor of that mythology that surrounds it, they then open up a floodgate of questions into the various aspects of the state, from Vietnam to the ramifications of World War II to sanctions on whatever country is Cuba, maybe at that.
Sure.
Cuba is coming up shortly thereafter. But I think a lot of it has to do with the state has to appear infallible in order to maintain this mythology, this love for someone else ruling your life. And the moon, think about this. Think about how the heavens, the sky, the sun, the atmosphere has always been a part of human mythology, and how the humans have always looked to the sky for their gods, for their guidance, for... At one point, they actually traveled by the sky with navigation and whatnot.
Sure.
So the sky is the god. If the state can conquer the sky, then they've won. And they just need to keep pointing to that, to be like, oh, we planted a flag on the moon. What'd you do today? And it's just like this idea that the state has to create an artifice around which people can bow down and pledge their 10 to 35% every year, and continue believing that this is the right way to do things.
Yes.
This is the right way. Don't question it. Don't question it, because they might come back at us and shoot us like at Kent State.
Oh, yeah. That came up next. We went to the moon, so now we probably have a couple of years of... we get a 2-year pass on shooting college kids. So, I mean, not to make light, I mean, it was 40 years ago, but not to make light of it. I mean, that's a horrifying thing. And this is what we were talking about earlier in the show. Like, how did people who were our age or younger then, how did they retreat by 2008 to John fucking McCain? How did they insert themselves that deep back into the very, very same system that looks the same, that talks the same, that acts the same? It's very saddening.
Are they the same people, though? Because, I mean, the person who was out protesting Vietnam, mm-hmm. like, I don't think that's the same person out voting for John McCain.
I think, well, I think a lot of them could be. And I mean, obviously, it's not all the same people, but, I mean, even experience, it's not even that doing that stuff, it's experience, it's living through that stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, if you look at the history of the neocon philosophy, it actually started when they got rejected from the Democratic Party. That Rumsfeld, and this is, there's some historical fact to this. If you want to do your own research, go right ahead. I'm not going to let me Google that for you. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the history of Rumsfeld and that block, the Cheney-Rumsfeld
Wolfowitz
block, they got kicked out of the Democratic Party. They were all Democrats back in the 70s and early 80s, and they were trying to get the Democrats to come around with their neocon philosophies. Well, the Democrats were like, no, this is silly. So they came around and around to the Republican Party and found some bites and basically sunk their teeth in. So... That's where it's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about winning. That's all I care about. Life, this whole political process is a video game. And if there's a special move that everybody hates because it always wins, well, someone's going to exploit that move and win.
Yeah. So. I'm tired and hot. It's hot up here, huh? Yeah,
dude, my balls are sweating off.
I'm getting swamp ass.
Oh my goodness. So we know it's about terrible. Everything that's going on in people's pants.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I think they faked the moon landing so they could put on a big show of setting a camera on the moon and panning it around and going, gee, there's nothing up here at all. So that we wouldn't be curious about the moon anymore.
Do you think they faked?
Yeah, that's the best way to hide the Nazis.
Exactly.
Or it could even be that, like, it didn't go up to the top. Maybe the top people thought that they did go to the moon. And it was just, like, the worker bee guys who were like, shit, we've got a deadline. We've got to get this done. We're going to get fired if we don't make something happen here.
It was the, like...
And so it's just this collective of, like, 15 dudes at the bottom rung of the ladder that
just having a meeting going, okay, how smart is the president?
the bureaucrat who like fills up the file cabinet with like the outbox of his file cabinet with just empty sheets of paper to make it look like he did all his paperwork. He's like, all right, Steve, you're in charge of getting us to the moon. He's like, oh, I don't want to go to the moon. You know how much work that's going to be?
And what's on the moon anyway?
Yeah. Jeez.
I got a buddy with a soundstage. Yeah, that's it.
Didn't Stanley Kubrick just make a movie where they like went to the moon? Why can't we just do something like that instead of
It was pretty convincing.
I'm a bureaucrat. I don't want to like really go to space, you know, like land on a rock that's hundreds of thousands of miles away.
Was this guy named Larry the Liberal?
No, they don't sound the same.
And I don't want to go to the moon. Can we just fake it?
No, that...
Well, it was 69. They got stoned and forgot they had to go to the moon. And then the deadline passed and they were like, dude, man, we got to go to the moon. I just tripped. I think I went to the moon. Let's soundstage that stuff, man.
It could have been. Listen.
So anyway, I'm just saying, as someone who has no information about how the moon landing worked, I find any of these stories completely plausible.
Okay, at least as plausible as the fact that we landed on the moon, which is pretty crazy when you think about it.
I think from where even if you research it a little bit, and even if you learn a little bit about space travel and rocket science, I'm really up in the air on that one.
I would really rather we actually went to the moon, but that, and I'm not saying I believe necessarily that we didn't, but it's not implausible
and
that they
would
have faked it.
I'd be more likely to believe it if it were something that people did on a regular basis. Like if we were sitting here and we're like, hey, you
or
know,
if any
was,
other country
really,
did ever.
Yeah, I was really thinking about taking that trip to the moon next week. I might put it off till next year, though.
And almost everything that's happened with the space program since then is kind of like the sequel to a really good movie, except the sequel sucks.
Yeah.
Like the moon landing was the first movie and it was great. And when you found out they were going to make a sequel, it was like, yeah. And then nothing. It was terrible.
Yeah. It's like it's like the sequel to Days of Thunder where he drives a cab. So, but the Nazis are there now, Brian. Thank you for your call and letting us know about that you saw this documentary. The Nazis are on the dark side of the moon. Helpful information, but it does feed into this idea of, you know, like I've researched the Nazis a lot. I feel like I could do a pretty good job of educating people about the Nazi mythology, the ideology, the cult involvement, all that stuff. But they're pretty fucking cartoony, right?
Yep.
Well, are they cartoony because we're looking back on it now?
No, I think,
you know, 50, 60, 70 years later?
Well, I think now with the threat removed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right, right.
You can kind of see how batshit
they really were. If you had a yellow star on your shoulder, you know, and those stormtroopers are running around in your neighborhood, they sure don't seem very cartoony at the time.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's a really good point.
And you know, I'm sure the Bearcat in Keene and Manchester is going to look pretty cartoony in a few years or a few decades. But if you know, the police state we have now sure seems pretty real and scary.
Well, I mean, when I was a kid, one of the most popular cartoons we used to watch every day after school was G.I. Joe. And it was the G.I. Joe team against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world. And they were really cartoony. I mean, it was a cartoon, so they were super cartoony. But if you took them out of a cartoon and had them attack your town in real life, they would be really scary. So, yeah, the Nazis are scary when they're actually active and a threat. But looking back on it, all the most cartoony stuff about them, we didn't know then either.
No,
we didn't know
absolutely.
About their moon base plans or their, you know, trying to get the Spear of Destiny and the Ark of the Covenant
the
and the Holy Grail.
The occult that they were involved in. So, here's what the when I first heard about Iron Sky, this was actually what went through my mind.
This is a documentary.
Yes, the documentary Iron Sky about Nazis on the moon. This is what went through my mind when I was under the misconception that this was an actual feature film, that this was some fantasy. I said, this is propaganda. And I didn't know about like its independent roots or anything like that, and you know how fans raise money to finish this movie. I thought this was like a big budget Hollywood thing, and with no evidence, the thought that just flashed through my mind is, this is a movie. Nazis coming from space is designed to, in a society where we as a society. And the American government, as a ruling institution, starts to have more and more ominous parallels to the culture of the Third Reich. This is a way to draw a line, a very clear line, like, these people live on the dark side of the fucking moon. They're nothing like us. They're invading us. Right. So my original theory about Iron Sky was it was a propaganda film to, in a society where we are becoming culturally, culturally similar to, what happened in Nazi Germany. Like, I think that the United States today is Nazi Germany sometime in the early 30s. Like, just the as Leonard Peikoff said, the parallels are very ominous. That was the title of his book. And there's another great book about that period that we talked about on the show before called They Thought They Were Free, written about the people in Nazi Germany at that time. But that's not what Iron Sky was. But I think as the gap closes between the two, I think that we will see, and Corey, we talked about this last night.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We will see things that try to soften the... What's a good way to say it? To soften the to add to the Nazi appeal,
right, to make the gap between us and them seem lesser,
and to make it also seem like, oh, fun Nazis,
yeah.
So
yeah, the cops in New York aren't that bad. At least they're not Nazis. Yeah.
Oh those Nazis, they made some terrible mistakes, but. Those scamps.
So this is what we think. There's going to be this was our idea. If Corey and I are ever professional propagandists, okay, I came up with the title. Okay, it's going to be called The Nazis.
Right.
But tell them the good part, Corey.
They're all squirrels.
So this is a caller tune. Now they have the uniforms.
Yes.
Right. They do the cult rituals. We don't. I don't want to get into any of the
Hats have skulls on them and everything.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into any of the darker stuff.
Right.
Do they persecute chipmunks?
No. See, I don't want to deal with any of that because that's dark territory. We're trying to paint a more positive image.
Right.
Oh.
So what they do? What would be some fun things that they would do? They would go on an adventure and they would look for. Like they go on adventures and they look for magical things,
right?
The holy nutsack.
they measure chipmunks' heads,
right? Well, no, because they're the chipmunks.
Chipmunks. Okay, never mind. They're squirrels. Not
wait
chipmunks.
A minute. Should wait. Do squirrels? Squirrels eat nuts, right?
Oh yeah,
okay,
they do.
Okay, so the Nazis with
the
squirrels.
Nazis. Exactly.
With squirrels.
Oh sure, we're still good.
Yeah. Okay. They measure the heads of chipmunks. To see if they're descended.
To see if they really are descended from the two squirrels that climb up and down the world tree in Norse mythology.
How would you think they would talk? Do you think they shouldn't have German accents?
Oh, yeah, they should.
So what
but would, squeaky album. High-pitched German accents.
What do you think they should sound like?
Jeez. I don't know. Now I'm trying to think of dialogue on, as well.
So many nuts. Can I mess your head?
Gay.
What? No. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a little too.
Wait.
Like,
a little too much.
What? What color are your nuts?
Oh my god! It's so hot in here, dude.
We gotta stop. I was gonna try to make a highlight.
You chipmunks have to wear a yellow acorn on your jacket.
So
I kind of lost the accent there.
Somebody writes in the chat, the Nutsies, bushy-tailed scamps. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to the after show. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Yay.
I'm glad you stuck with us. Have a good night, my friend.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.